We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
The other day, I was on Twitter and I was greeted with very good news. And that is the fact that Sean Marks and the Brooklyn Nets were awarded this man for all that he's done for the Nets the last couple of years. He has burst onto the scene. He was the skills champion last year. He was the go-to guy down the stretch. And then this year, he's taken it up a notch. He's the favorite to win the sixth man of the year. And now he's got a brand new extension, and that is Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer, congratulations. How are you on this fine Saturday?
I'm doing really well. To your point, I mean, obviously got the extension, but even more importantly, we're on a four-game win streak right now, and we're looking to extend it tomorrow. So life is good right now.
See, this is part of why I like you, all right? You, I don't know if you do it on purpose, but you say the perfect thing at the perfect time. Like, after the game the other night against Philly, I'm thrilled. I'm a diehard Net fan. We've talked before. I'm thrilled you guys won, but I'm also out of breath because of how freaking exciting you guys had to make it over the last minute. And here you are talking to Michael Grady, basically admitting we're all going to have a bunch of heart attacks with the way you guys are closing out games. You basically say what's on everybody's mind, Spencer.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of my style. Like, I like to say what I feel. I'm not one for the canned answers necessarily.
No, you're doing a great job of it. Now, let me be honest with you about this. If you had waited until free agency, you could have made more money, all right? You could have gotten paid more by the Phoenix Suns or God knows who. Did you consider that? Did you consider, hey, I like here in Brooklyn, but I also want to get mine. I want to get paid. Did you strongly consider waiting to free agency to get paid more?
I mean, I know that's a popular opinion of a lot of folks, and obviously it's an honor when everybody feels like, you know, you should get paid at a certain dollar figure. Obviously, Brooklyn offered me the max that they can offer me. So it wasn't a situation of, you know, Brooklyn underpaying me, that literally by the CBA rule,
right,
you know, I couldn't make any more with Brooklyn. So, you know, when you feel like your family and your home loves you enough to give you the max that they can offer you, and they can do, and they try to do everything that's within their power to sign you, it's not only about the money, you know what I mean? So I was more than happy to stay home and just keep building what we've been building.
If you didn't invest in Bitcoin last year, do you make a different decision?
That's a funny question. That's a funny question.
That's what I'm here for.
Nah, Spencer. Man. Like, nah, I mean, like I said, I love being here. I love being here. Like, I can't overstate or understate or whatever would be enough, man. They've been so good to me. And, you know, having a career where I've bounced around before and been in different situations, I know what they can look like. And sometimes chasing the grass, being greener on the other side, it's just not the case. I love being here, and I'm committed to being here.
Well, I'm glad you're here, that's for sure. We're talking to Spencer Dinwiddie. I can understand you and what you've done this year saying, you know what, enough of this coming off the bench stuff. I want to start. I look at it as a fan and say, you know what, this is working, especially lately. You're playing as many minutes as anybody. I mean, I think you're averaging the second most amount of minutes on this team, and you're playing crunch time. Do you want to start, or are you kind of cool with the way things are working now where you're still playing almost the most minutes anyway?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, obviously what we signed up for is to try to win games, try to make the playoffs, hopefully win championships in the future. And Kenny and Sean are committed to that, and so they're going to put the lineup out there to start the game, to in the middle and to finish the game. They think best does that job. So, you know, when you trust in them, then you're fine with your role because you understand that we all have the same goal. So starting coming off the bench, that's, you know, that's not as important.
No, I mean, I think playing crunch time would be the most important. I mean, right now, I know you're on the floor in the final few minutes. D'Angelo Russell, we're not sure about it. It varies game to game. But for you, rightfully so, we know you're out there in the final few minutes, and that's got to be the most important thing, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, and to your point, it's definitely an honor to be able to be on the court and to have that trust to be out there at the final stages, final minutes, and, you know, try to make those plays to help seal the win.
We're talking to Spencer Dinwiddie. You are taking it to the – my favorite part of your game is how aggressive you are now taking it to the basket. I mean, it's almost like you can get there at will. And we saw this last night. Now you're getting some calls. I mean, now all of a sudden the officials – I thought last night – and you could say, Evan, shut up, you're wrong about this. I think it was when you guys were up five. You took it to the basket and they called a foul on Kelly Oubre. There was no foul, Spencer. I think they were finally showing you respect and gave you the whistle when there probably shouldn't have even been one. What do you think?
Hey, man, if that's the case, I would say it's been a long time coming. And I look forward to more of that in the future, hopefully. I mean, you know, obviously, it's been well documented how hard last year was for us. And we're just trying to keep going, keep getting better. And if some of the ties start to change in terms of some of the calls, I mean, we'll gladly accept that as well.
Do you think that the whistle is going more of your way? Do you feel that way at all?
You know, I mean, I think it's definitely still too early to tell. I have had a couple big free throw nights this year, which obviously are great, especially for a guy that's in the paint as much as I am. You know, it's part of the reason why you do drive. You know, you try to put the defense in a tough spot, you know, where you're either going to get a layup or you're going to get fouled, and you put them in the bonus and you make the game easier on your teammates. Because if we're in the bonus with 5 or 6 minutes to go in the quarter, then now anytime my teammates are aggressive and they drive or they try to come off the screen hard and there's a touch foul here or there, they get free throws instead of, you know, us getting the ball out on the side. So, you know, that really is just my job to try to be downhill as much as possible. That's, you know, what Kenny wants me to do. That's, man, Joe Harris is telling me to do that constantly throughout the game. Right. He's like, yo, just drive it every time. Just drive it every time. I'm like, bro, it doesn't work like that. But that's my job.
We're talking to Spencer Dinwiddie of the Brooklyn Nets. All right, let me get to one of the negatives. That 8-game losing streak was just brutal to watch, especially with some of the closing sequences. What do you attribute to the failures that you guys had? And you've been cleaning it up. I mean, you've won four in a row, two of them against some really good teams. But what do you attribute the struggles in closing teams out during the 8-game losing streak?
I mean, a couple of those games, obviously, like with the Jimmy Butler shot and things like that, it just goes down to the last play. But in general, I mean, we're a young team. We're trying to figure it out. And then, obviously, Karis had become such a big piece for us, obviously arguably our best player. And, you know, when you lose them, the team dynamic shifts. It doesn't mean we're no longer a good team, but we all have to now adjust to new roles, new minutes, new rotations, all those things. And so, you know, when you're a young team trying to adjust on the fly after losing such a key piece, you're going to have some growing pains, especially early in the season, you know, when everything's not as solidified as maybe it can be. Now I think you're seeing us kind of start to get comfortable with how we're supposed to be playing and what that's going to look like without him. And hopefully when he does come back, it just makes it that much better.
How about the issues on inbound passes as a team? I mean, I think that was something that was consistently happening during the 8-game losing streak. I mean, how many times were you guys struggling to execute that? Do you feel like that's been cleaned up now? And what was the issue with that to begin with?
I think that was more of just a timing thing. Obviously, when you're late game, everything has to be crisp. Everything has to, you know, you have to know your different looks. You have to know what you're doing, if they're switching or if they're not switching. And I just don't think we were as crisp as we needed to be. And, you know, with some good practice time, I think we've started on the road to cleaning it up. Obviously, we haven't been tested in the same manner. So I'm not going to say it's 100% perfect, but I definitely think we're trending in the right direction.
You know, I tried to tell myself this last night because I was thinking about the 8-game losing streak and thinking, oh, my God, if you guys win 4 of the 8, it's a 16-14 team as compared to 12-18. But, and you tell me if this is true or if this is me just trying to tell myself something positive, that maybe there were positives to gain out of all those brutal losses and things to learn. Were there things to learn and positives that you could take out of not just losing 8, but losing the game against the Grizzlies, which was a killer, the Thunder game? I mean, some of these just really bad losses. Do you think things were learned out of that?
Definitely. You know, I mean, I think our attention to detail, our sense of urgency, understanding how paramount communication is, especially on a defensive end, and limiting mental mistakes. I mean, obviously, you know, we fouled Jaren Jackson on a three-pointer game, a four-point play, where literally the only thing that could cut it to a one-possession game was 4 points. Obviously, we allowed Paul George to get hot and also get the open shot. And that's on me due to, you know, a switch that we should have had that should have been cleaner. You know, so all types of things that have gone on, and we just realized, like, all right, if we keep our attention to detail, if we keep that focus, we keep our communication right, we're playing well enough to beat a lot of these really good teams. You know, we just have to do all the little things, especially down the stretch, because that's when all the mental lapses start to come in.
You know, I took a caller last hour, and they said, do you think this is it for Spencer Dinwiddie as far as this is the type of player he's going to be, or do you think he can get better? And my answer was, I've seen a jump from last year to this year, so I can't put any cap on you. I mean, God knows where you're going to be. What are your expectations for yourself over the next few years?
I mean, personally, you got to remember, my career essentially started in Brooklyn. So people like to say, okay, he's a fifth-year guy or whatever, and they like to try to put a cap on my potential. But I think those people, don't look at my career the same way I do.
Right.
And, because, like I said, I feel like I really started my career in Brooklyn. I feel like that was my rookie year, was my first year here. Two, I mean, obviously, I haven't played as many NBA minutes as other people. And three, they don't know my work ethic. So, you know, I don't see a limit. I don't see a cap. My prime is going to be 25 to 32. So we're just at the beginning stages of it. And even if this was my theoretical cap, don't they say in the last, what, like 5 games, 10 games, something like that, you know, the averages are crazy. So, you know, I'm perfectly fine with where I'm at right now. I'm ambitious for the future, and we're working to try to win championships here. And obviously, personal, you know, I'm not ready to stop by any means.
Now, you signed a 2-year deal, opt out on a third. I take that as you saying, hey, I'm banking on myself again. Let me get to free agency in 2 years, and I could really make a lot of money. Was that a part of your thought process?
Nah, money wasn't a part of my thought process. I just think, you know, obviously with the way my career has gone, with the different type of, you know, minimum non-guarantees and all that, I think the security and just, you know, being able to have a little bit of, you know, control over my career was really cool. You know, this was finally my chance to kind of be on the other side of it. So, you know, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I just credit Ray and Sean for going through the negotiation process and coming to an agreement.
How good can this team be? I'm trying to stay even keel. I think you said that post game. We don't want to get too high. I don't want to get too low. I was a victim, Spence. Earlier this year, I was way too high after the Denver game, and I was way too low. So I'm trying to be, like you said, even keeled. Where can this team go? You think there's a playoff team? You think we could be watching basketball in mid-April?
I definitely think we have the capability to be a playoff team. You know, I'm not going to be too bullish and say anything like championship. But I think, obviously, if we continue to improve and do what we need to do, we're going to be very exciting going into the future. And hopefully, you know, that championship-type mentality will start to creep in sooner rather than later.
I'm curious about this. You know, in that locker room, you've got a lot of guys that, like you, had the chance to get to free agency. D'Angelo Russell's going to be a free agent. Rondé is going to be a free agent. Both guys probably want that long-term commitment. Any jealousy, you think, from teammates who say, hey, Spencer just got his, what about me?
No, not that I've seen. You know, after I signed my deal, everybody really congratulated me. It felt great to walk to the locker room. Obviously, there were the money jokes that come, but, you know, that's just, you know, guys being guys and having some fun and congratulating their brother. So, really, it's been fun so far, and there's been no jealousy.
Well, look, you nail it. When you say, this is a part of why you're the guy. When you say, with the money, you get to retire your parents, I mean, that's the classiest thing a guy can say. You didn't say, I'm going to go buy some car. You're like, I'm retiring my parents, and other than that, everything's the same. I think that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, and I mean, and I genuinely mean that. You know, to be able to make my first solid chunk of money, that was my monetary dream when I got into this thing. Other than that, you know, in terms of basketball, I wanted to be a champion. I wanted to lead a team to a championship, you know, and do those things. And so since we're not there yet, I still have a long road to go as a basketball player. So that's kind of the duality. Like I take the blessing. I'm happy for the blessing. You know, I get to tell my parents to chill out, and you know, but in terms of basketball, we keep pushing.
Damn right, baby. Well, good for you. I'm happy for you. And as a Nets fan, keep pushing, because it's been fun watching you the last 2 years. That's for sure, my friend.
Thank you very much, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.